kids tuned to yesterday broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Stay tuned for an hour of adventure. Later on, we hear the story Derelict on Escape, but now one of the few broadcasts from the summer series Top Secret. It was heard on the air from June through October of 1950 on NBC with star Ilona Massey. This episode next at dress rehearsal for a broadcast to be heard on July 15th, 1950.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Oh, Veronessa, for 10 years I have driven a taxi in Rome. I know the city like my own cellar. Besides, it's so late at night, there is no traffic.
It wouldn't make any difference to you if there was.
Oh, Veronessa, do not be so serious. Come, sing a song with me.
Oh, no, Pietro. It's late and I'm tired.
But I'm your favorite taxi driver. Come, Veronessa, one chorus, huh?
Well, all right, but keep your mind on the driving.
La, 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 la.
La 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 la. Pietro! Pietro! Assignment 6 began in a nightclub in Rome. I had left Germany for good. Our counter-espionage ring in Berlin had blown up. I was operating alone as a singer in the club Ulpia near the Foro Romano. A week ago, even before I had finished my song, I noticed a man seat himself at my table. A table at the edge of the tiny dance floor. A table which was invariably reserved for me alone. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is my table, signor. Men do not sit at it without an invitation.
Please, Baroness, extend that invitation. I have to discuss with you a matter of great urgency. Please, 3 minutes. Then if you wish, I will leave.
Very well. 3 minutes.
Ah, thank you. My name is Erich Kempka. I am German. I am presently employed by the Italian Mint. It is imperative for my wife and me to get out of Rome at once.
What are you afraid of? Your hands are trembling.
I am afraid for my life, Baroness. I have in my possession a secret of such immense importance that it could well decide Italy's future in the war.
What has that to do with me?
Will you have some wine, Baroness? I am not being forward, believe me. I know you are of the Hungarian nobility, but these are strange times. Please.
Yes, if you wish.
Thank you. Waiter, some wine here, please.
You were saying, Herr Kempka.
I wish to sell you a secret which...
Sell it?
I know you are an allied agent, Baroness. And believe me, your government would consider the price very reasonable.
How much?
100,000 Swiss francs.
Oh, surely you don't expect me to buy it blindly.
No.
It's only the wine. Nobody's going to hurt you. Pour it, Rodolfo. Thank you.
Thank you, waiter. Oh, take it out of this, please.
To your health, Herr Kempka.
Thank you, Baroness.
Now tell me, what is this all about?
It is a secret. A secret so fantastic that you will not believe it.
Well, if I don't believe it, I won't buy it.
I cannot tell you now. But if you will come to my apartment in the morning... here's my card.
All right.
Ich Kempka, 10 Piazza Chiesa Nuova.
Mm-hmm.
It is beside the library, apartment 2. The telephone is 41708.
Thank you.
Baroness, what I know can ruin Italy. This I will prove to you in the morning. Will you give me 5,000 now? Tomorrow, the rest, after you see the proof.
Will you wait a moment while I get my purse?
Certainly, Baroness.
Is that 41708?
Yes.
Does Erich Kempka live there?
Yes, but he's not in. I believe he went to the Club Ulpia. This is Frau Kemka speaking.
You are his wife?
Yes. Is there a message?
Tell me, what is your address?
10 Piazza Chiesa Nova. Who is this?
Thank you. I will call later. Herr Kemka, I decided to trust you. Here is your 5,000 francs. If this secret is worth what you say it is, you will get the rest in the morning.
Thank you, Baroness.
And now I have to sing. Will you excuse me?
May I finish my rhyme? I will leave before you return to your table.
Of course. Good night, Herr Kemka.
Good night.
Thank you very much. And now I should like to sing for you one of my very favorite songs called Wien, Wien, nur du allein. From somewhere in the smoky room, a gun had been fired. I felt one of the bullets graze my hair. Instantly, the lights went out. And when order was restored, Erich Kemka had vanished. The next morning, I contacted my assistant, the only other Allied operator in Rome whom I trusted. Victor was a Roman, but he had been brought up in America. U.S. intelligence had just recently sent him back to Italy. He was a young man, and a man of many talents. He drove me to Herr Kemka's house.
What was the address again?
10 Piazza Casanova.
I see. You say you gave him 5,000 francs.
You know, there is something about Kemka that makes me believe him.
Like what?
His fear. Victor, I have never saw a man so terrified. He shook. He could hardly drink his wine. And he left without getting his change from a 10,000 lira note. Victor, that car! Marshal!
Mr. De Porto!
It was deliberate. Deliberate.
Why, he came right at me.
I know, I saw it. It was deliberate.
Did you notice his license, Karen?
No. It happened so fast,
You're getting famous, Karen. That's twice in 12 hours somebody's tried to kill you.
I knew Kemka was telling the truth. This is something vital. I have a feeling
Wait. There's number 3.
Yes.
5. 7.
There it is. The one with the big door.
Let me go in first, Karen.
I started it. I'll finish it.
Watch your step.
Thanks.
Fancy place, isn't it?
Yes.
A courtyard and a fountain.
Apartment 2. There it is.
Ah. A bottle of Asti says Mr. Kemka is out.
I'll take that bet.
He's probably still spending your 5,000 francs.
No, I'm sure he wasn't pretending. His terror was so awful.
Huh? At any rate, he's not in.
Try the door.
All right. But it's open. Herr Kemka!
There is nobody home.
I don't think we should just walk in, do you?
Oh, Victor, look!
What?
Look over there.
Is that him?
Yes.
Right through the head.
What's in his hand?
Wait a second. It's a 10,000 lira note.
Let me see it.
Karen, this is no place for us.
Wait a minute.
Please, Karen, let's not get mixed up in anything.
Look at his clothes.
What?
His suit's brand new, not even wrinkled. And his shoes, the strap on his watch, it's hardly been worn at all.
What are you doing?
Just seeing where he bought his shoes. Take his watch off. Take it off, I said.
All right, Kevin, but let's get out of here. This is a job for the police.
Why would he have 10,000 lira note in his hand?
I don't know. And, Karen, the money's new, too. Look, it's wrinkled, but it's crisp, clean. Wait a minute. I think maybe I've got it. New money, new shoes, new watch. He must be passing counterfeit money. Well, it must be. And he can't go around changing 10,000 lira notes, so he buys something for 1,000 in order to get good money and change.
Did you get his watch?
Yes. Look, let's clear out of here.
I wonder where his wife is.
Oh, he's married?
Yes. I talked to her on the telephone. He knew this was going to happen. He knew last night someone would try to kill him.
He looks harmless enough now.
But he knew a secret, Victor. A secret worth 100,000 Swiss francs. I couldn't get Erich Kempka out of my mind. He had been afraid, terribly afraid. We couldn't locate his wife. Victor watched the house all day, but she did not return. I knew there was more to this than just a small-time passer of counterfeit money. What had his secret been? What secret could be worth 100,000 Swiss francs and be so vital as to affect the war effort of Italy? I was determined to find out. First, I went to the store where Erich Kempka had purchased his new shoes. And it seemed there had been a fire. Excuse me, officer. Where is Paracini's?
The shoe shop, signorina?
Yes.
This is what is left. There was a fire early this morning.
Was anyone hurt?
The owner is Signor Cardotti.
Are any of the employees around?
See, over there. The short girl with the light.
Yes.
She wrapped the parcels, eh?
Thank you.
Do not go too close to the building, please.
Signorina. Signorina.
Are you speaking to me?
Yes. How did the fire start?
Oh, I do not know. Early this morning, 5 o'clock, they say.
You see, I'm trying to locate a man named Kempka, Erich Kempka. He bought shoes here very recently. Did you know him?
No, signorina. I only wrapped the parcels.
Who looked after the money?
All money was handled by Signor Cardotti. He's the dead.
Good afternoon, signorina. May I help you?
Yes. I'm trying to find out about this watch.
Si, signorina?
It was bought here.
Si, it is one of our best sellers.
Would you by any chance remember the man who purchased it?
Oh, signorina, we have many customers.
You mean you keep no record of your sales?
Well, unless it was a charge account, signorina.
Would you mind looking?
What name, signorina?
Kempka, Erich Kempka.
Kempka?
What's the matter?
I do not know who you are, but please, there is something going on with this man. I can get...
Oh, please tell me. Please do. I promise no one will know you have talked to me.
Well, late yesterday,
yes,
just as we were closing, uh-huh, two men came in and at the point of a gun demanded money.
You were robbed?
No. They took 6 10,000 lira notes. They gave me others in exchange.
I don't understand.
They examined all of the money I had taken in during the past 3 days. Only the 10,000 lira notes. And they took 6, put them in an envelope. They did not steal them. The big one gave me 60,000 lira from his pocket. And, signorina, they ask me the same question. Did I know anything about a man named Erich Kempka?
The shoe store had been burned. The shop where he purchased his tie in the Corso Vittorio was closed. There were heavy boards nailed across the door and a sign marked, "Closed by government order until further notice." Closed by government order. Every single clue as to what had happened to Erich Kempka during the 48 hours before his murder led to nothing. Late that night, after my last show at the Club Ulpia, I took a taxi home. As usual, Pietro, my favorite driver, had waited for me. He felt it part of his job to see me safely home each night. Pietro, your eyes on the road.
Oh, Veronessa, for 10 years I have driven a taxi in Rome. I know the city like my own cellar. Besides, there is no traffic.
It wouldn't make any difference to you if there was.
Oh, Veronessa, do not be so serious. You are too young to be sad. Come, sing a song with me, eh?
Oh, no, Pietro, it's late and I'm tired.
But I'm your favorite taxi driver. Come, Veronessa, one chorus.
Well, all right. But keep your mind on your driving.
La 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 la. Did you see him, Veronessa?
I'll get the doctor.
No, Veronessa. The bullet is...
A bullet from the blackness of the Roman night and Pietro was dead. A kindly, warm-hearted friend dead from a bullet intended for me. I spent a sleepless night going over what I knew about Erich Kempka. What had been his secret? That was his wife. Why had she disappeared? Why were the 10,000 lira notes so important? The next morning, I got in touch with an official in the Italian Mint. Kemka had told me he worked there.
I have heard you sing many times at the Club Ulpia, Baronessa. Many times.
Thank you, Commendatore Orsini.
Is there some way in which I may be of service?
Yes. I'm trying to trace one of your employees.
Ah. May I ask why?
Well, I'm curious about him.
Oh, surely one of the most sought-after women in Rome does not have to pursue her romance.
You forget yourself, Commendatore.
My apologies, Baronessa. What is his name?
His name is Kemka.
Kemka?
Do you know him?
Excuse me, Baronessa. I will be back in a few minutes.
I waited in the office. It was magnificently furnished. Suddenly, I noticed that the front drawer in the desk was slightly open. It was easy to open it a little more. There were 10,000 lira notes. Hundreds of them, all brand new. Why? Why does an official of the Italian Mint keep his desk drawer stuffed with money? The 10,000 lira notes.
Baronessa, I'm going to give you some advice. Forget about Erich Kemka. Forget you have ever heard the name.
But why? Why is this mystery about an ordinary little man?
He was not an ordinary little man. He was one of our most trusted employees.
Was?
He resigned.
Why?
Baronessa, keep your beautiful nose out of the Kemka affair.
He knew something, didn't he?
I repeat, Baronessa, forget him. Otherwise, something unfortunate may happen to you. Now go home and stay home.
But Commendatore Orsini, why, he's one of the most prominent citizens in Rome.
Yes, but when he talked about Kemka, he used the past tense.
Even so, he just couldn't have murdered Kemka. It seems impossible.
Then why did he suddenly go white when I mentioned Kemka's name?
I don't know.
He jumped up and ran out of his office. The drawer in his desk is stuffed with brand new 10,000 lira notes.
Look, Ken, let's give it a rest for a while. Why don't you try to get some sleep?
All right.
You look exhausted.
I am.
Okay, I'll run along. I'll see you at the club around 10.
All right.
And lock this door, will you?
I will.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Hello. Looking for someone?
Will you step aside, young man?
If it's the Baroness, she's out.
The Baroness is not out.
Sorry, she told me so herself.
I am the Commendatore Orsini of the Italian Mint. I am ordering you to step aside.
A knife?
I will give you 5 seconds to get out of my way, and then... Oh! Gentlemen, this afternoon I was brutally assaulted in the hall outside this woman's apartment. I am certain Kemka told her the facts. Somewhere a pair of 10,000 lira notes are missing. All the others were recovered.
But why is this woman not dead? She sings at a nightclub. It should be easy.
We are dealing with a baronessa, not a jeweler or a shoe clerk. She is internationally known. She has many influential friends.
So have we. Are we not the three most powerful men in Italy?
Well, what do you say, Alberto? Oh, the finger across the throat. A peasant gesture. All right. Tonight, I will do it myself.
Piccolina, I run a nightclub, not a school for the police. Do not meddle, Karen. Orsini is a dangerous man.
Did you bring the money?
I do not want you to be...
Did you?
Yes.
Let me see them quickly.
Karen, you are foolish. These are strange times in Rome, in all Italy. Mussolini...
Guido, let me see the money.
Here.
Is this all of them?
That is every 10,000 lira note I have taken in since last Monday.
Sorry to be late, Karen. There's still no sign of his wife. I've had someone watching the house all afternoon.
The both of you are the fools. You are meddling in something that is dangerous.
When you are through with the money, Karen, bring it to my office, eh?
Victor.
Yes?
They traced his shoes, his watch. But they can't trace wine.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I suddenly remember that when Kemka talked to me here, he'd ordered wine.
Yes.
He paid for it with 10,000 lira note. He even forgot his change. In this bundle is every 10,000 lira note that Lott has taken in since last Monday.
Have you got the one you found on Kempka?
Yes.
Then we compare them, right?
Right.
All right. How about this one?
No. I wish we knew what we were looking for.
This one?
No. I know it has something to do with... Victor, look.
What?
That's the one.
Hmm?
This one we found in Kepka's hand. That one is meant for wine. Look at them.
You mean... What, are they both the same?
Yes.
They're identical.
Uh-huh.
But Karen, it can't... This is unbelievable. This could ruin Italy.
That was his secret.
Do you realize what this will mean once people find out? It'll wreck the whole country.
That's what we are here for.
What are you going to do?
Tomorrow morning, every newspaper in Italy will headline this story.
Karen, you want it on the telephone.
Thank you, Guido. Wait here. I'll be right back.
Right.
Hello? Hello?
Hang up, Baronessa. Quickly, hang up. This is no time for fooling, Baronessa. You will come with me quietly, or I will cut your throat like a chicken.
So, Commandatore Orsini is a murderer.
You will take my arm and walk quietly out to my car. If necessary, I am quite willing to be arrested for your murder.
Even through my clothes, I could feel the point of his knife. We got into his car and tore through the streets of Rome at breakneck speed. It was when we reached the Appian Way that I saw the lights of Victor's coupe in the rear vision mirror.
Could that coupe possibly be following us? I wonder. This is a trick, Baronessa. Never try to race. It is much easier to let one's pursuer pass one. Come, Baronessa. Your head on my shoulder.
I won't.
The Orsini name is as good as yours. That's better. Now, who would suspect you are being kidnapped? You see, he never noticed. He thought we were lovers.
Where are you taking me?
My country house. I seldom use it now except for affairs of a delicate nature. Affairs like this.
I will tell you nothing. Nothing.
Stay standing, Baronessa. Perfectly still against the wall. Don't move. I was clumsy with Kempka, but that was because I'm not at home with a gun. Tonight is different. Swift. Stand. Scream if you wish, Baronessa. This house is empty. There are no neighbors.
You monster!
Erich Kempka stole a bundle of 10,000 lira notes. We have recovered all of them except two. Where are they?
They are quite safe. Whether you will kill me or not, every paper in Rome will publish this story in the morning.
Have you ever seen a knife-throwing act, Baronessa? No? Stand perfectly still
against
the panel. Surely, Baronessa, you do not want to die so cheaply. Two 10,000 lira notes. Who has them? Someone at the club? Tell me where they are.
I will never tell you.
The next knife will go through your arm, Baronessa. I will not kill you quickly as I did at Kempka. Your death will be slower.
In the name of heaven, who are you?
I am Erich Kempka's wife. For days I have sat in this house. I knew he killed my husband. When he admitted it, I shot him.
Well, it's in every paper now, Karen. Headlines 6 inches high. Prices of everything are soaring.
Everybody will want double salary.
Right.
Twice as much for goods. We couldn't have done more for the Allied war effort if we bombed Italy to rubble.
Runaway inflation.
It happened in Germany during the 20s. A loaf of bread was 1,000,000 marks. You needed a suitcase to carry the money for a pair of shoes.
And it will happen here.
Within a week.
You know, I always thought the men could print money anytime it liked.
For every piece of paper money, they need so much gold. Otherwise, the paper money isn't worth...
The paper it's written on?
Exactly.
I'd never have noticed the serial numbers were the same on those two notes, I tell you that.
The two notes became one note. Kempka made off with a bundle of them. They had to kill him.
Murdered for two 10,000 lira notes.
Printed in duplicate.
You have just heard Ilona Massey as the Baroness Karen Gazer in another transcribed drama of intrigue and espionage before and during World War II.
Top Secret, on Tune 2 Yesterday, a dress rehearsal from July 15th, 1950 on NBC. The star of the program, Ilona Massey, was known widely as the second coming of Marlene Dietrich. She was in motion pictures pretty much up until the time of the broadcast we just heard, when she turned to TV for the Magnavox Theater and the Lux Video Theater, and was the star of another spy show on TV in 1952 called Rendezvous. A couple of years later, she would tap her own talents as a soprano and host a music program called The Ilona Massey Show. Massey was born and had been living in Budapest when the call was put out by MGM in their Vienna office for actresses or models who wanted to work in Hollywood. She sent her picture in, and reportedly out of the 36 women chosen to go, she made the cut, along with screen actress Hedy Lamarr. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to Escape, where CBS brings forth the Victor Schwartz story, Derelict, heard on April 26, 1953 on CBS, with seasoned radio actors Charlotte Lawrence, Joseph Kearns, Charlie Lung, and Ben Wright.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are aboard a dead ship, drifting aimlessly in the endless reaches of the Indian Ocean, while the three men who are your companions, unaware of your innermost thoughts, are making their own plans for the division of treasure, which, because you are a woman, can mean life or death for you all.
Listen now as Escape brings you Larry Roman's unusual story, The Derelict.
I'm rich now. Good looking, too. A lot of guys have said so. 29, and that's on the square. Dark eyes, dark hair, and I've been a dancer all my life, so you can figure out for yourself how I'm built. I'm not telling you this out of conceit or anything. I just want you to know what you'd have if you had me. And you can have me, any one of you. All you gotta do is come out and get me. A couple of weeks ago, I climbed aboard the freighter Capricorn out of Singapore for Suez with a load of porcelain and six passengers. I had a job waiting for me in Cairo, but I took a ship instead of a plane. One, for the dough. Two, because I was in no hurry to start working. The honest truth was, my feet were giving me fits. 4 days out in the Indian Ocean, a monsoon started up and the Capricorn just busted to pieces on the reefs. I don't know how long I floated around, hanging onto some wood, till they hauled me into a lifeboat.
All right now, easy with her.
Gently, gently, do not bruise her on the side. Very good.
Clear off that canvas, Loire, set her down.
I'm all right.
Certainly you
are. Here. Throw this jacket round here.
I'm okay. No kidding.
The jacket.
Thanks.
And clamp your legs under the seat. Everyone all right?
Everything all right here, Mr. Mike.
Okay. We're just going to have to ride her out. You all right?
Sure.
You're not sick anymore?
All done. Kind of silly, wasn't it? Like a kid.
No, not so silly.
May I do something for you, my dear?
No, thanks. I'm really okay.
Kietman. Henry von Kietman's my name.
It was my cargo of porcelain on the ship.
I'm Mark Bowman.
Cora Moore. Hello.
This is Lou Wah, or is it Wah Lu?
My name is Lu Wah.
Chinese, part of the crew. Well, some predicament, huh? Others all drown, I suppose.
Or adrift, like us?
No, drown, I think. We were the lucky ones. Some are, some aren't. Well, spirits up, everybody. Look, we have water for a few days, so that is fine.
Sure.
Well, people do not get lost at sea these days, not with airplanes and so much ocean travel.
All right. We'll set up watches and take turns trying to catch fish.
Fish? Who can think of food now?
There's always later. You take the first watch, Keatman. Lou Wah and I will
put... Are you setting yourself up as captain, Mike?
I hadn't thought of it that way.
I want to be captain. I have always wanted to run a ship.
Well, I don't care who's captain, but someone's got to watch and someone's got to fish.
Very well. We all got jobs to do. Lau, you fish.
Yeah, all right.
Mike will watch. I shall tend to the water, portion out the proper amounts. And Cora, my dear, you shall sit there and be womanly.
The water sits in the middle so everyone can see it. Cora helps out like everyone else.
Well, sure, Mike. Just tell me what you want.
Settled, Mr. Keatman?
Settled, Captain Bowman.
I got a long look at them. Keatman, big around the middle and chest, white, shiny face, powerful arms. Mike, middle size, not bad looking, with clear blue eyes. Kind of girl ought to have. Lou Wah, small, good at catching fish. So there we were, three men and me in a tub, bobbing around the Indian Ocean, drifting. Then on the afternoon of the second day...
Oh, look it! Look it! You see! A ship!
Coming right for us. Mike, look at it.
I told you we'd be found. Hello!
Save your breath. It's miles off.
Oh, we rowed to it. The oars. Walu, the oars. Mike, the oars. Quickly now. Come on.
It was dusk by the time we got aboard. She was a three-masted sailing ship. All her lifeboats were gone and junk was all over her deck. Seaweed and ocean stuff, so you knew she'd been under once. An old barkentine, Mike said. A ghost ship. Her deck cabins were caved in and she stank from rot. We looked her over. Then down in the captain's quarters we saw it. First, a couple of human skeletons in a pile of junk that was once clothes. Then a metal box near the skeletons, open. And in it were bricks of greenish-yellow stuff. Mike knew right off what it was.
Gold.
Gold? Impossible. It cannot be.
That's gold, all right. I've seen gold before.
Well, sure it is.
God, it is. Feel it. Hold one. 20-30 pounds of brick. Oh, that's a fortune.
No kidding? How much?
I don't know, but a fortune, easily, a great amount.
Easily. Shut the box, Keatman.
The salvage laws, it's ours.
If we bring it in.
We will.
We've got another problem
but
first.
I tell you, you do not get lost at sea these days. This is 1953. You do not get lost at sea in 1953.
No. Shut the box. It won't swim off.
What? Shut it! Who are you to tell me what to do?
Oh, stop it, you two. Squabble like a couple of chorus girls.
Sorry. I apologize.
All right. Now let's check the galley. We ought to figure out a way to start a fire.
What about the skeletons?
What about them?
Well, you should get them overboard. I do not like to share the ship with them.
You do what you want.
You throw them overboard, Mike, if you don't mind. I wouldn't care to touch them.
Well, other things come first.
That is right. And before we do anything, don't you think we should have an understanding?
About what?
The gold.
What's there to understand? There are four of us. We bring it in, it's split four ways.
Four ways, yeah. Then I have a right. Now you go to the galley, Mike. I will stay here. I want to count the gold.
All right. Come on, Cora.
No, I'll stay down here if you don't mind. I'd like to know how much there is, too. Honest to Pete, I don't know why I said it. I wasn't thinking it. It just came out. Well, it rained that night, and we collected a lot of clean, fresh water. Next day, it was real sunny and warm. We cleaned the ship up a bit. All of a sudden, I got to feeling how funny things were. Adrift at sea on a ghost ship. But we had food, water, sun. At times, it was almost like a pleasure cruise.
Good morning.
Morning.
Sleep well?
Not too good. Of course, the place you fixed up for me was real nice, but... Well, I kept thinking about things. Cora Moore from San Diego with a jackpot. You know, you don't seem too happy about it.
Yeah? First problem's first.
We'll get found. Keatman's right. You don't get lost at sea these days. Ship is bound to cross us, isn't it?
Sure.
So then we'll all be rich and happy. You still don't feel good about it.
I remember once when I was a kid. I reached for a putt in a dice game with my winnings. It was fair. I got the back of my hand ripped open with a knife. I never got the winnings.
I see. Counting your chickens.
That's it.
Well, everybody does that. Look at me. I was going to be a ballet dancer. I was a ballet dancer. In my mind, I mean. Pirouettes and all that. Who knew I was going to end up a fan dancer?
Well, that's not so bad.
No? Oh, well. What are you going to do with your share of the gold? I mean, if we bring it in.
Go back to Australia, get a ranch, sheep.
Sounds like work. You won't have to work. You'll have enough.
I don't mind.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
Fine this morning. Where's Waloo?
Lou Wah is making breakfast.
This morning I would like fish for breakfast. Have him make fish. I feel good. I slept well. I always knew the rich slept well, no matter what they try to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, I see the skeletons are gone, Mike.
I tossed them overside last night.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Lou Wah found a barrel of nails. We're going to board up some cabin holes after we eat. You'll help?
Certainly.
I'll see you later, Cora.
Surly fellow. Well, you look lovely this morning, my dear. A fresh look. The sea air, yeah. You are a beautiful girl.
Sure. I'll get better looking to you the longer we're at sea.
Cora, my dear, I've been doing some calculations in regard to our wealth. If the bars weigh 20 pounds apiece, and since there are 100 of them, we have 20 by 12 by 100 by 35, the value of gold per ounce. In dollars, $840,000.
Mm. Buy a lot of meat and potatoes.
Ah, filet mignon, pheasant, pompano, almondine.
What's that?
Something very delicious. Now, suppose the bar weighs 25 pounds. $1 million.
$1 million bucks?
If the gold is sold at Macau, where the market is free, say, $50 an ounce, $1,500,000.
Oh, it keeps getting bigger.
Matter of multiplication. Multiplication is a wonderful thing. It makes everything grow.
Uh-huh.
Division, however, is not so wonderful.
What do you mean?
Well, take a large, satisfactory number and divide, say, by four. What are you left with? A small, unsatisfactory number. Do you follow me?
No.
Mull it to yourself, my dear. I'm sure it will come to you.
Sure, I knew what he was getting at, but I wasn't letting on. Sometimes it pays to play dumb. Well, the day went on as usual, our ship drifting and us not seeing anything but the water and sky. And then that night, laying in my bunk, suddenly began to think of something. I don't know why, but there I was all of a sudden thinking about Keatman and those ideas of his on multiplication and division. It just jolted me out of my bed. I ran out on deck. Mike came from one way, Keatman from the other, and we met at the railing.
Lua! Lua, where are you? No need to shout more. Look.
A few feet from us, the railing was all ripped away. We knew right off. Lu Hua was overboard. We could see the fin of a great shark cut the dark water and disappear.
You should not have leaned against the railing. The wood is rotten.
What makes you think he leaned?
The ship's tossing, then. It threw him against the side?
Lu Hua was a sailor. It's a calm sea. He could keep his feet in this ocean.
I don't understand you, Mike. How else could they have gone overboard?
There are ways.
I can't imagine.
Look, do we have to stand around talking about it?
Oh, of course not, my dear. Accidents do happen. There's no point.
Kateman, you watch your step.
Oh, what could you mean by that, Mike?
Just watch your step, that's all. I don't know what happened to Lu Hua, but you just watch your step.
As you say, Captain Borman.
Come on, Coyle. I'll walk you back to your cabin.
Mike walked me back. I had my chance to do some talking, to tell him about the conversation I'd had with Keatman, about multiplication and division. I should have told Mike. I know it. But somehow the words just wouldn't come out. I don't know why. Mike left me. I asked him to when I tried to get some sleep. No luck. I kept thinking about poor Lu Hua and also something else. I don't really know why I thought about it, but the fact is I did. Without me doing anything, I just got richer.
Cora?
Hmm?
Are you asleep? May I come in?
Well, I...
Just for a few moments, my dear. I want to talk to you.
All right. Just a sec. It's real late.
Oh, just a little while. The thing is, I do not get to see you enough alone. Oh, Cora.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, it's all right. Mike is asleep. He will not hear.
Hands off, mister. That's all.
Oh, have I made a mistake? I thought you had some feeling for me.
Well, it just that... You sure rush a girl.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Why don't you go now, Keatman?
Oh, no, Henry.
Why don't you go, Henry? I feel kind of upset tonight. You know what I mean. Lu Hua and everything.
Yeah, all right, my dear.
You're not mad?
Oh, no, no.
There'll be other times.
Oh, yes, of course, other times. Cora...
Hmm?
When we are safe on land and rich, we will go someplace, you and I. Italy, perhaps, or the south of France. Cora, 1.5 million divided by 3 is a large number. That should mean a lot to you.
Yeah, I have to admit. I've been thinking about it.
1.5 million divided by 2 should mean even more.
Morning, I found Mike at the ship's bow, looking out at the sea. I remember saying to myself, he looked kind of good to me. Funny how a guy can look one way to you at one time, then at another look so very different.
Oh, hello.
What do you see?
The usual. Nothing.
Oh, it's not so bad. Still got fish and water. It's only the third day. Guys were adrift during the war for weeks. They got saved.
Sure.
They had it worse than us. Mind if I sit here with you?
No, of course not. You seen Keatman?
Uh-uh.
Below, I guess, counting.
Yeah. He sure has gone off on that gold. You know, I've been thinking.
About what?
Those skeletons we found. You wonder who they are? Who they were?
Mm-hmm. A little.
You think they were part of the crew or come on later like us?
Why, it looks to me like the whole crew abandoned ship. No, I'd say those two came on later. That's after the ship came up from the bottom.
And they found the gold, huh? Just like us?
Uh-huh.
I wondered what happened then. It sure smells good up here.
Mm.
It's about the only place aboard you don't smell the ship's rot. Maybe I should have been a sailor instead of a dancer. A lot of good outdoors.
Ranching gets you outside, too.
Yeah. Bet Australia's just loaded down with fresh air. What about sheep, huh?
And what about them?
They smell?
Sheep aren't so bad.
Maybe I ought to use my share of the gold to buy a ranch next to yours. We could be neighbors and get together to talk about hard times. All this, I mean.
Cora.
Hmm?
Cora, I don't know. I can't quite tell whether it's because of the mess we're in or... Well, I suppose it might be different on land when we're safe, but...
What are you trying to say, Mike?
Oh, nothing. You forget it, Cora.
Sure. All right. Mike.
Huh?
Keatman came into my cabin last night.
He did?
I thought there was going to be trouble.
Well, now, look, Cora...
No, it's all right. The only thing is... Well, I think you better watch yourself.
What do you mean?
Well, it's what he said to me. He said him and me could split the gold in two.
Yeah.
I just thought I ought to tell you.
Thanks.
There's a knife in the galley. I don't want to suggest anything, but nobody's gonna blame you if you move first. I don't know why I said it the way I said it. I didn't mean to say it that way. It just sort of came out. Funny how you do things sometimes. For no real reason, I mean. Well, the third day went by, and we just kept drifting and drifting. Nothing to look at but ocean and sky. Then toward late afternoon, we saw something. Just a speck in the sky, but then it came closer and closer. A plane. One of those big four-engine passenger jobs.
Hey! Hey, down here! Down here! Hey!
Keatman waved his shirt and screamed to beat the band. The plane saw us, dipped its wings, and then took off again. We knew it would send a ship and that we'd soon be saved. That night in the galley, we sat down for what we hoped would be our last meal on the derelict.
Fish. Have some delicious fish.
Thank you. I don't want any more.
Cora?
Uh-uh. I don't feel much like eating.
Water, then. Have a big drink of water.
No, I don't want any.
Watch out. You're spilling it.
Oh, who needs it anymore? I told you we'd be found. This is 1953. The ship will come to us tomorrow, I bet.
All right. And we'll celebrate tomorrow. You put the water down. We've still got tonight.
Tonight? Yeah, tonight.
Keatman shut up then, and a few minutes later left the galley. Then Mike went out, too. That's when I noticed that the galley knife wasn't there anymore. The sea got kind of choppy that night, and I was sure restless. Wind started acting up, began to rain. Looked like a storm was building. Then I heard the scream. I ran out along the wet deck and stood outside the hold, looking down into the blackness. I couldn't see, but I knew what it was. Mike and Keatman. And only one was going to come up. Only one.
Hello, my dear.
Henry.
I got the knife in him. Before he knew what happened.
Mike.
Done. We divide by two, my love, by two as it should be.
I gotta get into my cabin. I'm getting all wet.
Oh, wait. Hey, Cora.
Yeah?
The ship will come to us today, to us, to you and me. The million and a half is ours.
I know, Henry.
South of France, or would you rather Italy?
Whatever you want, Henry.
Anything?
Yeah.
Oh, Cora. Cora, my love.
Oh!
Oh, Cora! Cora!
I don't know why I did it. Honest to Pete, I wasn't thinking about it. I just did it all of a sudden. I gave him a shove, and he went right over the side. I could see him in water just for a second, his face whiter than ever and his eyes bugging out. And then he was gone. The storm lasted for days. 3, 4. I don't remember now. And it tossed the ship I don't know how many which ways. Then the sky cleared up. Sun got all warm again. Been this way a couple of days now. Well, I haven't seen the rescue ship. Water's gone. Fish, too. And I'm alone. But like I say, I'm rich. I'm still good-looking. Any of you can have me, me and gold. All you gotta do is come out and get me. But please, please come quick.
Under the direction of Anthony Ellis, Escape has brought you The Derelict, adapted by Larry Roman from a story by Victor Schwartz and starring Charlotte Lawrence as Cora.
Escape on Tuned 2 yesterday from April 26th, 1953 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of adventure on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.